All right, Carrie, tell me this amazing story that you broadcast on the radio. All right, you created it for broadcast on the radio and are hoping it will broadcast
eventually.
At some point.
Pending This American
Pending.
Life.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
It's been pending for like a year and a half.
They're just waiting
sometimes,
for the right.
Yeah, sometimes they wait until they have the right theme. Anyway, tell us the story.
So the story is that...
Don't touch your drink.
I once dated a fellow from my college and we broke up. So, you know, that's done. And...
That was the first thing I was going to ask.
I lived so when we broke up, I was living in New London, Connecticut, which was not a place with a lot of young people. And shortly thereafter, I met a couple people who became friends. This guy Andrew and my friends DeCarol and Bronwyn. And they were living a couple blocks away. We hung out a lot. You know, they were always looking out for me, concerned about, you know, my life.
They want you to meet a nice guy.
Yeah, and so, anyway, one day we all go to Taco Bell, and they leave, and they're supposed to drive to
New York.
It's
been a long time since I've heard the expression, one day we all go to Taco Bell.
we're not making a lot of money. We could feed, like, five people for $17.
But still, I mean, isn't Taco Bell, like, come on, isn't there a Wendy's around? No, I'm just joking.
No, Wendy's is our typical fallback, it's true. But no, this time we went to Taco Bell, we left, they were driving down to New York, and I was going home and going to an art class with several old ladies in New London. Now, they start driving, I go to my art class, the phone rings, and I see that it's them, but it's interrupted this art class, and all these old ladies are kind of like, oh, the young girl with the phone, so I shut it off right away. And
the young girl with a phone, with a cell phone,
with a
cellular
new
telephone.
Newfangled cell phone device. So I shut it off. I continue painting a really, really bad picture of a baseball cap and a bucket hat with watercolors that, you know, no one would ever want to see.
Which is available for purchase.
It's now in several galleries. I then went outside to go to my car and turned on my phone again to find that I had four voicemail messages, one of which was not from DeCarol and Bronwyn, the other three were. So the first voicemail message says, oh my god, Carrie, we're driving down the road and we saw this car and it has a Flannery O'Connor bumper sticker and a Red Sox bumper sticker, which is the bumper stickers that were on my car at the time. And they're like, it's a red Toyota, which is what my car was at the time. And they're, at first I'm thinking, oh my god, someone stole my car. And they're like, it's like a young man driving.
How did you get to the art place?
And it, This is going to mess up your narrative. I drove to the art place. I checked my phone while I was still inside. I had not yet seen my car.
You had not yet gone to the parking lot.
I had not yet gone outside.
Yeah.
So I was inside and I was thinking, oh my gosh, someone stole my car. So as I'm listening, I go outside and I see my car is still there. So I feel...
So then you're thinking, they must have stole it and returned it.
No, so they're driving. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. No, so they're, and they say, no, the car also has one of those, like, Jesus fish on it, and which my car did not have. But they're like, it was being driven by a young, attractive, bearded man that they thought, since he had an almost identical car and a Jesus fish, would be perfect for me.
Because
someone who likes Flannery O'Connor, the Red Sox, and is Catholic.
And red. Whatever the hell car you drive.
Yeah, and red Toyotas.
Yeah.
So this is the guy for you.
This is the guy for your dreams.
This is it. So they decide to pursue him down the highway. They are driving down 95, like speeding behind him, and he kind of speeds up a little bit. So they drive next to him, and
they're
waving and honking. And they make up a sign. They start to make a sign. They're going to make a sign for him. So they write down, are you single? Are you single on a sign? Then they realize that's not going to work because he can't really converse with them. So they just write, honk if you're single. And they hold it up in the window.
And he
looks horribly embarrassed and continues driving on.
So he doesn't honk.
He does not honk.
Maybe because he's
married.
He
just drives away. So.
He's married. Sorry, Carrie. It's over.
Yeah. So, they have not been deterred. They are very, very intense.
Tenacious.
Yeah.
They're Coast Guard folks.
So,
And
anyway, they go and they decide they're going to pass him a note because he needs to know, like, more about me in order to not be freaked out about this.
Yes.
So
that would definitely solve the problem.
The first part was that first voicemail. The second part was the fact that they're going to try to pass him a note. At which point, mm-hmm. my stomach sinks because I realize that the man that they are passing this note to is my ex-boyfriend, who I have already dated and who did not have an identical car when we were driving, but had eventually gotten, I think it was his father's car that had one of the same bumper stickers, and then he had put the other one on over it and all the... So I'm now mortified. I'm absolutely mortified because, you know what you love is that, you know, I love to have my ex-boyfriend think that I need my friends to track down dates for me on the highway, because that's great.
I enjoy that. Matt does that for me all the time.
I was at an art class with old ladies, so, you know, you can see where they might think I might need help. So they are now pursuing him down the highway. They're leaning out of the car. Bronwyn is literally on 95. They have pulled up within like a foot of his car, and she's leaning her body out one of those windows, like where it doesn't even roll down all the way. She's in the back seat. It only rolls down like halfway, but she's quite thin. So she's leaning her body out, and they've written, "Oh, our friend Carrie, she's 26 and she's Catholic and she's wonderful and you're going to love her and she loves all these things that you love and blah, 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 blah. So here's my cell phone." They put my friend Bronwyn's cell phone. "You know, text us if you're interested." And I was like, oh my gosh.
And what'd they do?
Oh my gosh. And then I had wished my car was stolen, because that would have been a less horrific experience. And so...
So did he take the note?
Then, they're like doing the like roll the window down thing, even though it's obviously like electric windows, you know, they're doing the motion like, "Roll your window down, roll your window down." And he does. And he rolls his window down and he reaches out across the highway and he takes the note. He took it, which I could not believe, because it sometimes seemed like that was a lot of effort for this person.
Possibly up until this point, he thought they were interested in him.
Yeah, well, so they...
Yeah, for some, like, group sex.
Well, they also... No, you know, actually, one part was that they had made a second note that said, "It's not for us, it's for our friend," so that he would not think that they were just trying to stalk him down the highway.
Yes.
And so
there's a whole dialogue going on through notes.
Uh-huh. Little
drive.
Signs in the car.
Sure, it was very safe.
And yeah. 95, it's a quiet place,
yeah,
quiet highway.
Definitely.
So they passed him the note, and then after that I called them. I listened to all the voice messages, and that was the last message I heard from them. So I called them and I said, "Oh my gosh, you guys stop. Whatever you're doing, just stop." Like, don't do it anymore. And they said, "Well, we got a text message." And I was like, "Oh, what does it say?" It says, "Is your friend named Carrie?"
I thought the note already said that.
No, I'm... this is a bad story.
No, it's not a bad story.
All right, I'm telling it in a poor way. The note said...
You're telling it in a great way.
They told it in a way that...
They didn't reveal
They did
name.
Not reveal my name, but they revealed enough
friend,
detail where he could obviously recognize me.
Yeah.
Based on the number of characteristics they
named. So they text back or what?
They were like, "What do you want us to say?" You know? And I was
they should say no.
I think
no,
they
her
just...
her name is Christine. She's no longer interested.
Yeah, that would have been good. But I think they just said, never mind. They texted back, "Never mind."
And that's the last contact you've had with this guy.
That was it.
This
but the
story
nice thing,
will be on This American Life on the next.
Well, the nice thing was that when I went back and I looked at that story over and, or like, thought about that story, because we'd had, this guy and I had a lot of, like, weird, like, connections over time where we, like, just missed meeting and finally got together and everything seemed, so it seemed like, you know, it was like fate once again saying, "Oh, you should get back together." But obviously, that was not going to happen. He was dating somebody. And so I didn't actually want to date him anymore. So, you know, that's fine.
But, you broke up with him.
But, yes. But the most amazing thing about the whole story, really, was almost not even the fact that they saw him again, but what my friends were willing to do on my behalf because they cared about me. And that was, it was like one of the first times after I had known DeCarol and Bronwyn, where I was like, these are very good friends. And it was much...
You owe them one.
It was worth more than you know, it seemed.
Well, thanks for sharing that story, Carrie. And do you have a website you want to tell people about? Hold on, is this still working?
I don't have a website.
Yep. All right, well, that's Carrie. And she's still single.